got the spaces later after fighting for 20 years. And Christians have praised us that have the Muslim not come in this country, we would not got a moral agenda back in UK. So religion plays a part, but I do agree that radical have sabotaged it. But radical is not increasing. They're teeny-meeny minority wherever you are.
Can I just interrupt here and make a comment?
You please, go ahead.
Radicalism is not increasing. How come you say that? Well, there is several attacks against shrines in the Middle East, in Libya, in Mali. There was attacks against Alawites in Syria. I'm not saying I know that Bashar is mainly the killer here, but there was ethnic minority cleansing in Iraq.
Agree.
There is tension in Lebanon in the name of religion. Copts in Egypt, there was reports that some Coptic women were prevented from casting their votes. There is a sectarian hint which is coloring the politics in the Middle East. We shouldn't ignore or underestimate the problem.
No, we should not ignore, but we should, the other way around, handle them robustly face to face. Publicity of oxygen, which these extremists get through our media, is unbelievably too high than their statistics there. I do agree with you, whatever you said, it, what's happening in the world against religious shrines and here and there, including Malala Yousafzai, this is a source of evil, which we all decent human beings, citizens and constitutionalists have to work against, that so that these things should not be happening. But it's not religion the source of evil. That's what I've been hearing for past 50 years. And when we got the fact, it is not religion who kills, it is not religion who divides, it is not religion who is decisive. It is people
There's a listener in Nigeria who agrees with you, sir. Latif has just posted on our Facebook page. He says, I believe Islam and Christianity preach peace. However, these institutions have been hijacked by politicians who use them as a tool to gain support. Yep. That's the problem we have in Nigeria. Abdulila, who's a long-time listener of World Have Your Say, on our Facebook page as well, writes, the Arab Spring has helped the Islamists to win the largest number of seats in Parliament in Morocco. Those who voted for this party were hoping for better change, but so far things are almost still the same. There's still a high level of unemployment in Morocco, as well as the ongoing corruption. And I suppose one issue here, Professor Feldman, is that if a political party is primarily defined by its religion rather than one particular stance on the economy or on foreign policy, perhaps once you get your hands on power, you need to have a bit of time to work out your approach to all of the different areas of being in charge.
Yep.
That's absolutely right. And in many cases, the religion won't have a very specific or particular plan for how to arrange policy in the real world. So, you know, all the great world religions teach that one should care for the poor, but is the best way to care for the poor by giving them direct support, or is it by improving the economy so they have a better opportunity to advance themselves? That is a question that very few religions have a definitive answer to. And when it comes to foreign policy as well, you know, religions may preach peace and brotherhood, but that's something that everybody wants. The question is, what's the best way to get there? And that's the realm of policy. So I think once they're in power, religious political parties really have to spend a serious amount of time figuring out the practical side, the side that, if you will, has a fundamentally secular element to it. And I think that's one reason that, although right now, where there are free elections in Arabic-speaking countries, Islamist Democrats have done extremely well, I don't expect that that will be a permanent condition in the region. I expect that's a feature of the first series of elections in which people are saying, well, look, we've done secularism, it hasn't worked very well for us. The religious parties seem to be, you know, honest and sincere, at least to start with. And then over time, the human beings in those parties will make mistakes.
Yeah.
And there will be more variety. I don't think religious parties will disappear, but I don't expect they will dominate the political space in the Arabic-speaking world forever. I think very frequently, religious politics emerges when people don't have an outlet in ordinary politics. And that's one reason that in a new democracy, there's an instinct to vote for religious parties. So over time, I'll see development and change.
Professor Feldman, thank you for responding to that point. If you're just joining us, this is Ros Atkins with you on the BBC's World Have Your Say, and we're looking at the role of religion in some of the biggest news stories which we've discussed during 2012. There's a number of reasons why we're doing this today. One is that we've just been following this issue going along for several weeks and wanted to actually bring it onto the air. But the other is that there's been any number of exchanges around this issue after one particular interview with Richard Dawkins, who's a very famous atheist, with one very well-known Huffington Post writer in the UK. They did the interview. It was put up online, and ever since there's been an awful lot of back and to and fro on Twitter about what they were discussing, and they were discussing the role of religion. Let me read you a couple of tweets which tie together one issue. Ahmed in Egypt says, in Ireland, a rape victim had to go to court to win the right to abortion. That's what a religion-run state does to your laws. And that's referring to the very sad case of a woman who died. Her family maintained that she had requested an abortion several times because of the amount of discomfort that she was in. For whatever reasons, that wasn't granted, and she died. And there's now an inquest into why that happened. But the abortion laws in Ireland have come under particular scrutiny because of that. Atta'ol has tweeted us saying, the Malala shooting made me proud to be Pakistani because of the way the individuals responded. He's not meaning he was proud of the people who attacked. And I just wonder, all of you, there are those two stories, the Malala shooting, the abortion case in Ireland, and also the Church of England voting to block women bishops. And when you take all three, and they're all very, very different stories, I appreciate, but I wonder, Dr. Mahmood, up in Wigan, whether you feel these are three more examples of the fact that religion continues to constrain women, and it's happened in 2012 just as it's happened for many years before.
Yes, I agree. I mean, that's another alarming news which emerged in 2012, and it highlighted, in my humble opinion, how much we need reformation of religious sorts, whether in the church in England, whether in Islam in the Middle East, I am not necessarily pro-abortion, but if we really want equality, if we want freedom, we should respect others' right to demand for abortion. This sad story in Ireland was tragic, and it should make us all pause and reflect about how religion can have a negative impact in the society.
Moses in Nairobi, do you feel, you've mentioned how popular religion is in Kenya at the moment. Do you think it offers women support to be whatever they want to be in Kenya?
Pardon?
Do you think that religion offers Kenyan women support? Does it help them to meet their dreams, to meet their aspirations?
Most women go to church or affiliate with religion because they see it as a way out of economic problems. But in most cases, it's a delusion because they are taken advantage of by some pastors who are not well-meaning and who are out to exploit them for their own gain. And also, most churches discriminate against women taking leadership positions. So to a large extent, it has not been a force for good when we look at in terms of women. Yeah.
So you don't think that so in Kenya? Chris in the US has just this second posted on Facebook, I'm disgusted by the misogyny and the homophobia I continue to see from conservative religions. Swaye has just tweeted, here in Ghana, parties choose a Christian presidential candidate, but they often go for a Muslim as a running mate so as to win both votes. Well, I guess if that's what works, then why not? I just wonder, Dr. Sajid, what's your view on the issue of women? There are a number of stories, and of course, in some ways, they're very different issues, but lots of people are seeing them together and saying this is broadly, this proves once again.
The situation of women in the world religions are not good one. Women must be given their right, fair share of leadership in all religion. I do agree that reformation is needed, and that's what, if you see Tunisian position, their vice president is a woman, and that's what I knew her because she worked with me in World Religions for Peace, and I'm aware of their, what we call it, openness and activities. organized religion so far, whether Christians or Islam or Judaism, have opposed, and orthodoxy is still prevailing. It doesn't mean that God has not given women the right. It is the practice which a professor from Howard University was talking about, that there are values mentioned in secular and religious things, but it's in how to implement them into practical sense. For example, in Islam, there is a fair distribution of wealth, so taking from the rich and pass on to the poor, zakat system. But whether it's being implemented properly in the world? No, it needs proper checks and balances so that world should not feel discrimination, especially the women issue is very, very serious and terrible. Malala, being a woman and young girl of 14, have suffered terrible in the hands of extremists, which we must hold their hands and make them responsible.
But would it be possible for a woman to be the head of the Brighton Islamic Mission?
I wish one day our trustees agree with that. At the moment, orthodoxy prevails.
Thank you very much for answering that question. Now, I've got another point for all four of you, and I'm interested to hear you talk about this. We have talked much more about conflict and tension created by matters relating to religion on World Have Your Say this year than we have about efforts for people to get along better or for humanitarian aid to be offered. It's not because we're biased one way or the other. It's just because we follow what people are talking about, and people on the whole tend to focus on tension and violence and upset perhaps more than they do more positive news. Professor Feldman, do you feel that the media and maybe people more generally in America have an inclination to focus on the problems created by religion rather than its achievements?
Well, as you mentioned, the media is interested in that which stands out. You know, the story that runs is not dog bites man, but man bites dog. Hmm. And it's not perceived as news that all over the world every day, hundreds of millions of people find that their lives are improved in some way by their religious faith and by their religious affiliation. You know, if there's a moment of interfaith happiness, again, if there's anything wrong with the media, they're just following the human nature, human nature's tendency to focus on that which is unusual. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right to say that conflict draws attention, and conflict can be wholly secular. It can be conflict driven by ethnicity. It can be conflict driven by religion that has an interplay. It can be conflict driven by social class or economic interests. All of these are forms of conflict. All of them are covered by the media. And religious conflict is one of the forms of conflict to which our attention is drawn. And as all of the speakers have said, we need to take it seriously. We need to not pretend that it doesn't exist.
And Professor Feldman, I'm just going to come in here because I've been on the BBC World Service for a long time, and now and again we have lots of different problems with lines. I've never known someone to gently fade in and fade out as you're doing. Most of the time we can hear you, but just then you went so faint, I'm afraid it sounded like you really were thousands of miles away from me, which of course is the case. We'll try and fix that up, because of course we'd like you to stay through to the end.